And so he's this is his last day technically among us. He hit the road on Tuesday, is that correct?
Tomorrow.
Okay. And also today we will be installing our new baker, Lawson Short from Kansas. And he's got some of his family members here with him, so we're excited to get started. We'll do that at the end of the service, and then we'll do it again at the beginning of the second service, and then we'll have Victor Short take over his duties at that time. So good to get a chance to welcome and greet him before. Make sure you do so today, and we're very, very, very happy to have him awesome. A couple of words on our worship service for this morning. Our opening hymn, number 616, Baptismal Waters Cover Me. Following that hymn, we'll follow tonight's service 1, page 151 and following. We have a worship insert for today. Readings are on one side, proverbs are on the other. We'll focus on the gospel reading from Mark 8 and the miraculous feeding of the 4,000 today in our service. Before we sing, let's bow our heads. Gracious God and Father, we thank you as always for the opportunity to be in your house, to hear your word, and to receive your gifts. Heavenly Father, many times we get our priorities out of whack. We cling too closely to the things of this world, and we turn them into our idols. Heavenly Father, today we need a healthy dose of perspective. Help us to see that all that we have and all that we are gifts from your gracious bounty. And help us to see that the one thing needful is the forgiveness, life, and salvation that can come only from your Son, Jesus. It's in His powerful and precious name, crucified and risen to take away the sin of the world, that we gather, worship, and pray. Amen. Hymn 616.
Amen.
worship, divine service, setting number one, page 151. Page 151, we stand. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We justly deserve your present and eternal punishment. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us.
God in His mercy has given His Son to die for you, and for His sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ, and by His authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
We turn to the words of our Introit. We chant them together as printed on your bulletin insert.
Salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, Let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Glory to God in the highest, and peace to his people on earth.
Never-failing providence orders all things, both in heaven and on earth. We humbly implore you to put away from us all hurtful things and to give us those things that are profitable for us. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
The Old Testament reading for the seventh Sunday after Trinity is from Genesis chapter 2. Then the Lord God formed the man of dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living creature. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground the Lord God made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stone are there. The name of the second river is the Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. The Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, "You may surely eat of every tree of the garden, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We seek the gradual. Come,
O children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. Those who look in are raised, and their faces shall never.
The epistle is from Romans chapter 6. I am speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. When you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? The end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit that you get leads to sanctification and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please stand for the Holy Gospel. Gospel according to St. Mark, the 8th chapter. In those days, when again a great crowd had gathered, and they had nothing to eat, Jesus called his disciples to him and said to them, "I have compassion on the crowd, because they have been with me now 3 days and have nothing to eat. And if I send them away hungry to their homes, they will faint on the way, and some of them have come from far away." And his disciples answered him, "How can one feed these people with bread here in this desolate place?" And he asked them, "How many loaves do you have?" They said, "Seven." And he directed the crowd to sit down on the ground. And he took the 7 loaves, and having given thanks, he broke them and gave them to his disciples to set before the people, and they set them before the crowd. And they had a few small fish, and having blessed them, he said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. And they took up the broken pieces left over, 7 baskets full. And there were about 4,000 people, and he sent them away. This is the Gospel of the Lord. Hymn 819. Please be seated.
love, and mercy from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, our risen Savior and Lord. Amen. Text for our meditation this morning, the Gospel reading we heard a moment ago from Mark chapter 8, verses 1 through 9, the miraculous feeding of the 4,000, especially these words. And having blessed them, He said that these also should be set before them. And they ate and were satisfied. Dear friends in Christ, today one can hardly go anywhere without their planner. Now, maybe for you it is the old-fashioned kind of a planner. A book or a calendar, ink on page. You meticulously write everything down by the day, by the week, by the month, maybe even by the hour. A new generation has emerged that has an aversion to ink on paper. Everything is done electronically. Oldsters like me don't trust the electronics, but their iPad, their cell phone, has all of their plans. Everything is written down. It even will give you a warning or a buzz or a little encouragement at the right time. So you know what to do and you don't forget. Maybe your planner is the really, really, really old-fashioned planner. That one that's between your ears. And you just remember. You remember what to do and when to do it. But for some of us, the older you get, the more that computer between your brains, between your ears, lets you down. However you do it, planning is an essential part of life. And I don't know if it's the ethnic German heritage for many people in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, or if it's something else, but there is an absolute aversion to making sure that things are done properly and decently and in order and on time. Today we look to our Gospel reading from Mark 8. And we have to think at least a little bit. What in the world were these people thinking? They're going on a 3-day retreat and they don't bring any food? What were they thinking? Didn't they know how to plan? Didn't they think they might get hungry when they were out in this desolate place? I'm sure you've seen posted on a wall somewhere in some business that wonderful phrase that we see too often here in America. Poor planning on your part does not constitute an emergency on my part. These people had made their own bed. They should lie in it. Let them be hungry. Let them faint on the way. That'll teach them. They'll never pull that stunt again. That's what we think, or at least what we're tempted to think as we hear and read the account of the miraculous feeding of the 4,000. We're not sure how these people got into the fix that they were in. Maybe they didn't realize that they were going to be gone quite so long. Maybe they did pack a little lunch, but that was gone early on the first day. We don't know any of those details, but what we do know is that these people were so enamored with the teaching of Jesus, with hearing the Word of God, they forgot about everything else. Can you imagine that? They were so excited about hearing Jesus speak and teach They clung to the words of God and they didn't worry about their belly. They didn't worry about external things. They hungered and thirsted for the righteousness that only Jesus can provide. And finally, after 3 days of hearing Jesus teach, finally, Jesus had to do something. Jesus had compassion on the crowds. He didn't chew them out for forgetting their planner or their lunch. He didn't chew them out for having their priorities mixed up. No. These people had clung to the one thing needful. Remember Mary and Martha? And they had chosen the better thing. My friends, it sounds crazy to think that we would order our lives so that the most important thing in our lives would be the Word of God. Got to work. Got to go to school. Got to save. Got to plan for retirement. Got to plan for that big trip, that big vacation. Got to plan. My friends, there's nothing wrong with planning. There is nothing wrong with being organized and being detailed. The problem becomes when our plans, our goals, and our desires come first in our lives. When we are more consumed with taking care of our bodies and everything that goes with them than we are about taking care of our souls. This is what God is teaching us today through this sign, this miracle of the feeding of the 4,000. A sign signifies something. It points to something bigger than the event itself. This miraculous sign is teaching us more than the fact that Jesus took 7 loaves of bread and a few fish and fed 4,000 people. Every miracle teaches us, it signifies for us, that Jesus is who He claims to be. Who does Jesus claim to be? God! Now we know that He's a human being. He ate and He drank and He slept and He felt pain and He died. But Jesus is more than a human being. Every one of His miracles, whether He's calming the storm, or walking on water, or feeding the multitude, or healing the sick, and raising the dead, every one of His miracles testifies that Jesus is not just a man. He is God in the flesh. He is God in the flesh for you. Only God could feed 4,000 people with 7 loaves of bread and a few fish. Only God could take these meager means, feed 4,000 people, and have more left over than when He started. 7 baskets fulls left over. Only God could do this. But God is teaching us even more in this miracle. He is God. He is for you. But God is also teaching us that Jesus is a God of compassion. He is a God of compassion. Greek word for compassion is one of those wonderful words. It means pouring out your guts for someone else. The fact that Jesus is compassionate means that He suffers with us. This God who was hungry and thirsty knows what it's like when you are hungry and thirsty. This God who felt pain, Jesus, knows what it's like when you feel pain. Jesus, God in the flesh, who faced death head on, knows what it's like when you face death. This Jesus, God in the flesh, knows what it's like to be abandoned by those He loves. He knows what it's like when we're lonely and abandoned, mocked, ridiculed. Jesus knows. Jesus cares. Jesus is the God of compassion for you. But the good news is, Jesus doesn't just feel sorry for you. Jesus doesn't just empathize with you. Jesus, God in the flesh, does something about it. In the same way that Jesus had compassion on the crowds, He didn't chew them out for their lack of planning. He fed them. He fed them. He fed and took care of their physical need. But my friends, Jesus did not come here first and foremost to be a bread king. He did not come here to take care of only our physical needs. Jesus came into this world. We heard it in our epistle reading. For the wages of sin is death. He came here because our biggest problem is not an empty belly or a parched lip. He came here because our greatest problem is sin, death, and the devil. This God-man Jesus took all of our sin into Himself and onto Himself, all the way to Calvary's cross, suffering and dying the death we deserve. Jesus came to take care of our sin problem. And in so doing, to conquer our greatest enemy, even death itself. This is who Jesus is for you. He's a true man. And still is. He knows. He feels. He understands. He continues to be a God of compassion for you. But don't think that Jesus is some wimpy, empathetic kind of a wannabe Savior. He is God in the flesh. He has suffered and died in your place. He has overcome the grave. He is risen from the dead, never to die again. All of this for you. He is God. He is your God. My friends, as we hear God's Word in Mark chapter 8, God wants us to examine our hearts. Everybody has a God. It is human nature to have a God. Even self-proclaimed atheists really have a God. The question is, who or what is your God? In the Large Catechism, Martin Luther teaches us what a God is. A God is that to which we look for all good, and in which we find refuge in every time of need. To have a God is nothing else than to trust and believe Him with our whole heart. As I have often said, the trust and faith of the heart alone make both God and an idol. If your faith and trust are right, then your God is the true God. On the other hand, if your trust is false and wrong, then you have not the true God. For these two belong together, faith and God. To that which your heart clings and entrusts itself, I say, is really your God. So, what do you cling to? What do you trust in? Some people would say, examine your life and see where you spend your time. Whatever you devote the most time to, that's your God. Now that's a frightening proposition for many of us. Even pastors can get mixed up so that their work as pastor becomes their God rather than the one true God that they are supposed to be serving. Happens for all of us. Others would say, examine your checkbook. What do you spend your treasure on? And whatever you spend your treasure on, that is your God. That can be even a more frightening proposition, can't it? My friends, we live in, you're going to be so thankful for this, we live in Nebraska. Many, if not most people, have a God made of red. And it might look like a football or a basketball or a baseball or a volleyball. That's the culture of this place. And for others, you don't have to live in Nebraska to have a false idol of a sport or a recreation. My friends, we all know it's true. Maybe not every day, maybe not all the time, but there are times in our lives, almost daily, when we worship at the altar of something or someone that is not the one true God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Deep down, we don't really always trust God to take care of our body. We have to do it ourselves. And so we plan and scheme and plan and work and plan and plan as if we are in complete control of our lives. And then something happens to remind us that we're not. Maybe we don't get into the school that we applied for. Maybe we get laid off from the job that we've devoted ourselves to. Maybe there's a problem with the financial world and all that money that we've been saving is now taking a huge hit. Maybe we've been planning on how we're going to spend our retirement days. And then sickness or death changes everything. It's a good thing to plan. God wants us to be good stewards of that which we have. But He wants us to make sure, as God is teaching us here today, that the one thing needful is not taking care of our body and physical needs, but the one thing needful is the forgiveness of sins and life everlasting that only Jesus can provide. Do you remember these words? These words from Jesus, from the Sermon on the Mount? Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Seek first the kingdom of God, and all these things will be added to you as well. My friends, how easy it is for the kingdom of God, God's house, worship, God's Word, to become almost an afterthought. If I'm not too tired after a long week at work, then maybe we'll have a little time for God. If we're not too frazzled from running here and there, attending every activity and sporting event, then maybe we'll be in God's house and hear God's Word. How easy it is to be so enamored with things of the body that things of the soul take a back seat and before long are just completely gone. God's Word for today is a good wake-up call for all of us. Repent. Repent and hear the good news that for all of the times we have taken the gifts of God, the good and God-pleasing gifts of God, our mind, our ability to work, our family, our activities, our leisure, our school, our money, all of these gifts from God, for all of the times we've taken these gifts and turned them into idols, for all of the times we've worshipped at the false idol of me, myself, and I, and all of the other things that are attached to that, for all of the times we have neglected or even despised the Word of God and preaching, for all of these sins and more, Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, who was tempted in every way, shape, and form that we are, and yet didn't sin, not even once. This Jesus, this God-man, took your sin. He paid the penalty for your sin. He suffered and died for you. He rose from the dead for you. This Jesus, God in the flesh, continues to feed you with His Word. He puts His resurrected body and blood in your mouth. It's pumping in your vein. My son, my daughter, your sins are forgiven. And now by the power of God that lives inside of us, we want to hear His Word. We get to hear His Word. We can listen to His Word for, oh, maybe even more than 60 minutes on a Sunday morning and not faint along the way. We can tune in to the radio and hear God's Word in our ears. We can be in God's Word with our family and with our fellow brothers and sisters in Christ at church.
We don't have to be anxious or worry that God won't take care of our body and our physical needs. If He cared enough about you to suffer and die on Calvary's cross, don't fall into the trap that He won't continue to be a compassionate God who knows your need and still takes care of it. We sang in our sermon hymn, "All who confess Christ's holy name, give God the praise and glory. Let all who know His power proclaim aloud the wondrous story. Cast every idol from its throne, for God is God, and He alone. To God, all praise and glory." May God grant it for us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which far surpasses all understanding, keep our hearts, our minds, our bodies, our needs in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. Amen. Having heard the Word of God, we are bold now to confess our faith in the one true God and our trust that He will care for us, soul and body. Nicene Creed, page 158. Please stand.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of His Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us sins and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day He rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and He will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead.
Eyes for mercy, Heavenly Father, which we now bring before You. Creator of all mankind, You have given us the gift of life. Bless and direct us all our earthly days. Give Your wisdom to all who tend to Your creation, that they would live out their vocations in service to their neighbors. Especially bless President Trump, Governor Ricketts, and all those who make, administer, and enforce our laws, that we may live in peace. Lord, in Your mercy, merciful Lord, You know the devastating impact sin has upon our bodies. Be with all those who are suffering the ravages of illness and age, especially those who have requested our prayers. Bless all doctors, nurses, and therapists, that they might lessen the burdens Your people face. Be with all those who are in assisted living centers and nursing homes, as well as all who work there, so that all Your people would be well cared for all the days that You grant them. Lord, in Your mercy. Heavenly Father, bless all those who serve Your church. Grant a special measure of Your blessing to the Scammon family as they move back to Fort Wayne this week to continue Evan's study at the seminary. And we ask that You would be with Vicar Lawson Short in his service among us, which begins this day. We beg You, O Lord, that his year of learning in our midst would prepare him to serve the flock that You have appointed for him. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Bless us this day as we are gathered around this altar, together with angels and archangels and all the faithfully departed who are now part of the company of heaven, especially Ron Sankson, father of Melissa Macklin, laid to rest on Friday. Grant that we would receive the body and blood of Christ Jesus in faith, and that we would delight in the forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation that He gives to us here. Lord, in your mercy, grant us all these things, and whatever else is beneficial for us, so that we may live and serve to the glory of your name. For you live and reign, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, now and forever.
Amen.
You may be seated.
This time we ask that you participate in what we call the rite of fellowship. Pat at the end of each row, please sign your name. Visitors, we're glad you're here. Please share with us your mailing address so we can acknowledge your presence in worship this day. Special word of welcome to those who are worshiping on the radio or on the internet. We pray that the good news of a God who cares for your soul and your body would be yours today and always. We worship God now with our gifts and offerings.
For the offertory, page 159, What Shall I Render to the Lord? Lord be with you. Give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who having created all things, took on human flesh, and was born of the Virgin Mary. For our sake he died on the cross, and rose from the dead to put an end to death, thus fulfilling your will, and gaining for you a holy people. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, Blessed are you, Lord of heaven and earth, for you have had mercy on those whom you created, and sent your only begotten Son into our flesh to bear our sin and be our Savior. With repentant joy, we receive the salvation accomplished for us by the all-availing sacrifice of His body and His blood on the cross. Gathered in the name and the remembrance of Jesus, we beg you, O Lord, to forgive, renew, and strengthen us with your word and spirit. Grant us faithfully to eat his body and drink his blood, as he bids us do in his own testament. Gather us together, we pray, from the ends of the earth, to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread.
Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." The same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
are at peace. With great joy, your sins are forgiven.
of this true body, precious blood of our crucified, risen, ascended, and returning Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen and preserve you in the true faith until life everlasting. Depart with peace, with great joy. Your sins are forgiven.
Amen.
We stand and sing the post-communion canticle, the Nunc Dimittis, page 165. Thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same, in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time I listened to you, and in a day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way. 2 Corinthians chapter 6.
And in 1 Timothy 4, practice these things. Devote yourself to them, so that all may see your progress. Keep a close watch on yourself and on the teaching. Persist in this, for by so doing, you will save both yourself and your hearers. The word of the Lord. Lawson Short, are you prepared to serve as vicar in this congregation under the supervision of the pastors, undertaking your assignments as one who seeks training for the office of the holy ministry? If so, then answer, I am with the help of God.
I am with the help of God.
Lawson Short, I install you as vicar at Good Shepherd Lutheran School, Church and School, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. This time, I'd like to invite the elders of the congregation to come forward and offer a blessing.
Mr. Short, since you'll be teaching Psalm 119, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By guarding it according to your word.
Lawson. This is taken from Deuteronomy chapter 6. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. May the Lord bless and direct you in your work. May He give you strength to meet your needs. And may you always know the contentment and joy of sharing His message with others.
Vicar Lawson. Timothy was a student of Paul's, and Paul wrote him a couple of letters. And in 2 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, he wrote, "In the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who will judge the living and the dead, and in view of His appearing and His kingdom, I give you this charge. Preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season. Correct, rebuke, encourage with great patience and careful instructions."
Vicar, my passage I have chosen is 1 Chronicle 28, verse 20. Then David said to Solomon his son, "Be strong and courageous, and do it. Do not be afraid, do not be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, is with you until all the work for the service of the house of the Lord is finished."
Vicar